Social Security Administration's Office of Disability Adjudication and Review finds a way to tackle an overwhelming backlog of disability appeals cases. The data-driven training program from the agency's Office of Appellate Operations helps officers with the critical thinking skills they need to decide cases more efficiently. Administrative law judges now get better results on 35 out of 84 performance metrics. Teresa Fender is an appeals officer at SSA's Office of Appellate Operations, now on detail as a senior policy advisor to the Social Security Advisory Board. She led this training program, which now is a winner of this year's W. Edwards Deming Award, for the second time that her organization has won that award. Teresa, thank you for joining me in the studio today. It's great to have you here. Tell us about the programs that you've developed. You have a two-day program, one-week program. How did you stand these up, and what were the goals that you established, what you wanted these, what outcomes you wanted from these programs? Thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Francis. We won the Deming Award in 2011, and my boss, Judge Jonas, refers to that as the gift that keeps on giving. That was really the genesis of the program that we're talking about today. One of the other offices within the Office of Disability Adjudication and Review saw that and said, we have some issues we'd like to address. How can you help us? And we sat down with the regional chief administrative judge for the San Francisco region. That office covers California, Hawaii, Arizona, a number of states, at the hearing level. And Regional Chief Judge King stopped by our office and said, let's sit down, put our heads together, and figure out how we can apply what you know about training to experienced judges. The training we had worked on before was initial programmatic training. Now we're working with a completely different group of people who already have a background and sometimes have many years of experience doing this job. How can we find out what's going on with them? What are the issues that are leading to perhaps low productivity or inaccurate decision making? And find a way of addressing those problems. So we took a look at the nature of the administrative law judge or ALJ job, broke it down into some component parts, and realized that one of the fundamental areas that needed work, if you will, were the critical thinking skills. Oftentimes we think about adjudicating as a knowledge-based endeavor. But there's an awful lot of skill involved. It's just like riding a bicycle. It's just much more invisible to us. And so we worked on honing those skills involved in applying the policy the judges were already familiar with to the task at hand. It's particularly complicated in our adjudication process because every case is unique. We can't deal with them as cookie cutter cases, nor do we want to. These are individual human beings. And so it's important to remember that each case represents an individual person and that each case presents to us a unique constellation of facts and circumstances. So how can we achieve adjudicatory consistency given that we have such a variety of cases to deal with? And that's what led to developing a critical thinking approach and to leveraging the existing knowledge and experience of the judges who came as participants to the training. That made sure that they were engaged in the process. One of the traditional modes of training is the beloved lecture style approach, which is a very passive approach. For those of us who have sat in the upper corners of lecture halls in college and done something other than paying attention to the lecturer, we know that it's a very passive process. And the research on that kind of an approach tells us that people don't retain very much. So what we know from adult learning literature is that the more engaged you are, the more hands-on the learning, the better you learn. It's a multimodal input. You're mm-hmm. using eyes, ears, active physical interaction with the material. And each of those pathways, to put it on a biological basis, is a neurological pathway to your brain. The more pathways we use, the more likely it is that that learning will stick.
Teresa, you mentioned that this was kind of a follow-on to a training set that you created for people who were becoming judges for the first time, and that this one dealt with people who had been judges in some cases for many, many years. Were there principles of the training that applied to both cases that were equally successful in both cases? Obviously, the content was dramatically different, and the desired outcome was dramatically different. But I imagine there were some principles that worked well in both cases.
Absolutely. The concept of an interactive training, and I don't mean do a lecture and then have a question and answer session at the end.
Right.
The interactive training involves the participants in actually rolling up their sleeves and working with the material, analyzing cases, discussing cases, arguing, setting up debates, taking different approaches. So the interactive aspect is a key component. We refer to our training as integrated. And by that, I mean that as the training goes along, every unit of the training, every module, every session consists of the affective, behavioral, and cognitive components rolled in together. We present some knowledge. We do some work with that knowledge. We talk about why it's important. And in the course of doing that, we're covering all of those different types of objectives together rather than doing one type of learning, knowledge-based learning, and then sending people off to try to do the skill-based portion on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another key component. It's also very much directed by where the students are.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I tell when I'm training trainers, I tell them it's a lot like doing an appellate argument where you have your outline and no matter what the judges ask you, you bring them back to the path you want to take. It's the same with this sort of training. You have goals in mind. You have objectives in mind. You know where you want to go. And you know roughly the path you want to take to get there. But you let the students explore the areas that are most salient or most critical to them.
Teresa Fender of the Social Security Administration, her team won a Deming Award this year from Graduate School USA, and you can read more about the details of that at federalnewsradio.com. I mentioned one of the metrics at the beginning of our conversation, but it wasn't the only one that you used to determine, was this working? How did you go about setting those metrics, and then how did you go about applying them to judge at the end of it, yeah, this is doing what we wanted to do?
Well, I mentioned that we had affective, behavioral, and cognitive objectives. So we looked at how we could develop affective, behavioral, and cognitive measures. The affective measures were really the attitudinal aspect of the training. And we did a couple of surveys. We did one immediately on the last day of the training. We also did one a little bit later on to see if the attitude had persisted, if there were issues that arose later on as they had a chance to take what they learned back and apply it so that we could identify things we might do differently the next time we did this sort of training. And so that subjective survey was one measure we used to get at the affective aspects of the training. The behavioral and cognitive aspects were measured primarily through the use of a survey of the ALJ's decisions. We have a component at OAO, the Division of Quality, and they have been tasked in the past with analyzing decisions for a number of other purposes. They've learned to develop tools that enable them to take a decision and evaluate whether that decision meets certain fundamental criteria. So they developed those kinds of questionnaires for this training, and they were very comprehensive. They were very, very comprehensive. They worked hard at trying to capture every potential aspect of the knowledge and the application of that knowledge to the case that we would want to cover. And we were particularly interested in those areas that led to a lot of remands by the Appeals Council and by the federal courts of the hearing level cases. And that survey addressed the what we call the five-step sequential evaluation, that is the process we go through in adjudicating a case, the questions that we ask as we move through the case process. It also looked at whether those cases met some of the non-content-based criteria that the Chief Judge's office was interested in having judges meet. They don't want cases sitting in one status for a long time. We have an enormous number of cases to move through the hearing level, and frankly, at every level of Social Security's disability adjudication process. So we can't afford to have a case sitting, languishing anywhere for any excessive length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at that as well. We took all of those topics that are important to the hearing level and tried to find some way of getting at that in the decisions. We took a random sample of decisions that we pulled from, that were dated before the training, and a random sample of decisions that were enough after the training, far enough after the training, that we knew they weren't in the pipeline, so to speak, and adjudicated during the training period. We wanted to be sure they were truly post-training cases. And we compared those two bodies of cases to one another and discovered that we were successful. And frankly, I was concerned. This was quite an experiment. And so I was a little nervous to see what the results were like.
Well, the results demonstrate that it paid off for you, Teresa. I congratulate you on this award. We only have about a minute left. What can somebody else, looking at your success, if I'm at another agency and I'm trying to build something up like this, what can I take away from what you've learned here, not just with the award that you've won this year, but from the 2011 version, and apply to what I'm trying to build?
There are some broad things that I think really contributed significantly to our success. One is that we have management that communicates with us and we with them. We have established a relationship of trust back and forth so that they feel comfortable letting us try things and potentially fail, or, you know, as in this case, succeed very well. So giving us the latitude to try things based on some fundamental concepts that we know to be effective was a key part of being able to do a successful training program, not only once, but repeatedly. It's also really important, I think, that we work together. We have a very, very, very small training group at OAO. Most of it is sitting in front of you. But we work with the people who are available at the time. We bring in detailees to help with certain aspects. We work with other components. This was truly an across-the-component effort, and that sort of helping each other teamwork approach really made it not only successful, but truly exciting and very pleasurable to accomplish.